Get ready to get your nerd on.
Kick the week off right with games, gadgets, and general geekery from the ladies of the Electric Sisterhood.
On Tuesdays, get your pop culture news and reviews with a pure Bostonian perspective on the Boston Bastard Brigade.
Geek Aggro is coming at you on Wednesdays to fill what's left of your cerebral cortex with the hottest beats to get you on your feet.
Then on Thursdays, you have me, Phil the Issues Guy, presenting the Live Issues program.
It's going down each week. Only in the land of Ash, nerdcore at its finest.
Hey guys, this is King Baby Duck, and what you are about to listen to is an exclusive interview myself and Issues Guy did with Raj Ramaya and Origa. Both of these artists are not just great collaborators of Yoko Kanno, but also extremely talented on their own. I implore you to check out both of their official websites at rajramaya.com and origamusic.com. and take a listen to their original works in and out of the anime realm. So right now, here's another edition of One-on-One with Raj Ramaya and Origa, recorded at Anime Boston 2013.
Gummed up brain dead, can't decide.
So my first question is, what first drew you into being a musician?
Can I answer in Japanese? Interpreter?
Yes.
私は歌手で生まれました。I can't say.
It's better, yeah, so do a translation in Japanese.
Oh,
okay. 歌手で生まれました。
She was born as a singer.
I started singing, then I, from I remember myself.
And Raj, how about you? What drew you into being a musician?
The truth?
Yeah.
I think I the idea of being free and being able to be an artist, and I think to be able to communicate with people, you know, with a beautiful medium like music.
How did like two singers from two different countries, like Raj from Canada,
right,
or Origa from Russia, find such an amazing career of sorts in Japan?
Guzen is just like coincidence.
Yeah.
Coincidence, yeah.
Not specially.
Like a magnet.
I think she's right about that. I think it was a matter of timing, you know, coming to Japan at a time when the anime world was just kind of blowing up, and there's the music culture in Japan was huge. It was the end of the bubble, and music culture was huge. Japanese record labels were flush with money, and everyone was spending. Everyone was out. The clubs were hopping. It was an incredible time when we arrived both, rather. It was just like, you show up, this is a mecca of music. It's like, it's happening. It's going off everywhere. Electronic music, animation music, everything. And it's like, when you got there, it was just, you couldn't pull yourself away from it. It was so intense and so incredible. So.
Absolutely. And that's something that really drew me into the Japanese music scene as well. It started with me, with the soundtracks that both of you were fortunate enough to contribute to.
Yeah.
And then it just went towards like all the different artists, whether they were pop idols or rock bands or electronic artists.
Yeah. It's an incredible scene over there. You're still incredible.
Yeah.
Still, yeah.
I have a lot of friends over there that are in the music scene, and what they managed to pull out is just beyond belief.
Yeah.
So, like, you guys, both of you made a name in the States here because of your work with Yoko Kanno.
Right.
Public Bebop, Wolf's Rain, and Ghost in the Shell Standalone Complex.
Yeah.
So, like, how did you first meet Yoko, and how did you know that this was going to be like a collaboration that was going to work?
When I first came to Japan, I got signed to Victor Entertainment, which was one of the major labels there at the time. And then Victor Entertainment, I was doing some work for Victor Entertainment, and I was writing with a bunch of breakbeat artists and some techno artists and doing some different artwork with them. And then Yoko Kanno found me through a guy I was working with called Captain Funk. We were opening up for Fatboy Slim at that time. So we're doing opening slots for Fatboy Slim, and I was playing guitar and singing, and he was doing spinning break beats. And then she's just like, this is crazy, this is cool. And then we released our album and went Billboard Top 20 in Japan right off the bat. And then
wow.
So she found us, found me through that. And then she introduced me to this, and then that was the Cowboy Bebop, the first thing that, you know, she introduced me to. So she found me through that small success there, and then she helped me, and that kind of pushed me into other people's attention and stuff like that. So.
Cool, because I remember when I think the first time I ever heard you sing was in the song SDNA, and I remember when I first heard that song, like the first thing that popped in my mind is like, this is the best thing like Stevie Wonder has never written. When you collaborated with Yoko with Borda SDNA, like what were some of the notes that she gave you? Like, how did the two of you like find that sort of essence to create such a fantastic song?
I think that you know, she was really influenced by, at that time, I think she was listening to Beck, you know that?
Yeah.
That's what I think at that time. She was listening to Beck, and I was listening to Beck as well, you know, and it, you know, I remember talking to her about
sort of
that.
Olay style to
yeah,
it.
Yeah, absolutely. She said that, she's like, you know, I'm listening to this, I'm listening to that, and, you know, and I said, me too, and, you know, we were talking, and then, you know, stuff just started happening. She's writing material, and she said, sing on this, and, I mean, I sang lots of different stuff for her, and that, some of it made it onto the album, onto the movie, some of it didn't. You know, all sorts of things were happening. So she kept that one, and that reminds me of that. Totally, I think is Beck influenced. I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
And how did you first meet with Yoko Kanno?
I'm totally opposite. I catch her.
you found her. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Good for you.
じゃあ日本語にしましょうか。私のデビューアルバムに神野さんはピアニストとして呼ばれました。
So, Yoko Kanno was actually called as a pianist on her debut album.
Oh,
yes.
Wow.
And, 私と会った時は私は最初はすごいこの人と思いました。とても今考えるとアニメキャラクターでした、そのもの。
So the very first time that I met, I thought that she was an amazing person. I thought that she was basically like an anime character.
Yeah. Boshi とかなんかこういうかわいいなんか、ネクタイじゃない、
ボタイ
とかこういう学校の学生格好とかわいい帽子をかぶったんですよ。
She was wearing it. Sorry.
Okay. She was wearing a really cute hat and a really cute bow tie, and she was also wearing like a school outfit.
I've seen that picture before. I think it's like one that many people use when doing like artist profiles. I think that's like a go-to picture of Yoko.
Yeah.
That's for me. That's the first image I think of when I hear her or when I hear about her.
And.そしてあとは次のアルバムとか、もう私もちろん彼女のピアノは大好きになって、それでどんなアルバムにも呼ぶようになりまして。
So because she loved her piano playing skills during that album, for the next few albums she also ended up asking her to do the piano on those albums as well.
もしクレジット見たら全部のアルバム、ほとんどの全部のアルバムに彼女はピアニストとして入ってますよ。
So it's not all of her albums, it's basically Yoko Kanno as pianist on every single one of them.
Yes.
That's very amazing that she's able to contribute.
彼女は途中で自分のバンドとかやったりして、その時私は知りませんでした、彼女は何やってる。いきなり彼女はアニメ世界に入ってるということを分かって、彼女から私の方に声かけました。
So at that time she didn't realize that she was also doing her own thing. She was on a band of her own, and when she realized that that Yoko Kanno was in the anime industry, and that's when Yoko Kanno decided to bring her in.So it's sort of like an exchange.
Yeah.
And again, similar to Raj, the first time I ever heard your voice was from the Standalone Comics album. And this, I believe the album did come out even before the anime did. I forget if it was either before it even came out in Japan or the very least before it came out in America. Mm. And I remember when that song Inner Universe popped up, and just, I was just blown away by just the beauty of the essence of this song.
Thank you.
when you sat down and like did this specific one, the Inner Universe, and what were you both channeling from one another? Like when you were doing that, when you were like collaborating with that.
Um, 直接わからないんですね、その時の自分の気分だけど、あのよく覚えるのは、私はその時子供生まれたばっかりですね。その時私はすっごいエネルギーがあったんですよ。
So she doesn't know exactly what she was feeling at that time, but she did have a lot of energy because she had just given birth to a child at that time.
Oh, really?
Yeah, maybe it's...もしかしたらそれはあの関係あるかもしれないんですけど、まあ、歌った時は私はいつもように自分の心から一番深いところからものを出すんですよ。それだけ。
So that might have also been part of the influence, the her child being born, butAs always, whenever singing, she always makes sure to reach deep down inside and sing from the bottom of her heart.
And it's such a great jacket. I mean, it's funny because like a couple of years after this song came out, I'm not sure if you've ever heard of an artist by the name of like Nine Inch Nails. He released this album. There's this one song that pops up called You Know Who You Are or You Know What You Are. And like, I'm listening to it and it's like, oh my God, this is Inner Universe. Like, it feels like Trent Reznor heard Inner Universe and was greatly influenced that into his track.
That's funny, because you were just talking about how Linkin Park are really heavily influenced by anime music. Mm-hmm. And so are a lot of hip hop artists now too. Mos Def, we worked with Mos Def a little bit last year, and he was talking to the guys who did Patches Pajamas, this kids music thing, and he's saying how he's a big fan of Cowboy Bebop. Right, and I was like, "What? Really?" And these guys are all like, you know, a lot of artists influenced by Gundam and all these different things. It's really amazing. It's interesting. I think that you might be even right. You know, Trent Reznor married the girl from West Indian girl, the band, his wife.
Yeah,
and I actually told her to audition for that pull-out spot. four years ago, because she's a singer. I said, Frank, the guy, Frank Black from West Indian Girl, was auditioning new singers because he says, the singer's leaving to marry Trent Reznor.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So, this question is more like, what songs are you, like, most proud of that you've performed, that you've written? And this is a question that's, like, for inside or outside the anime realm. Like, this is, like, more for career spanning. So is there a song that you're proud of that you wrote solo, or is there a song that you're more proud of that you worked with, like collaborations such as this?
I like the song "Strangers" I did with Yoko, because it seems to last forever. You know, people don't seem to get tired of it. I still get Facebook comments and stuff like that. You know, 7 or 8 years later, so.
Yeah. It's a great track to like mellow out to. It's like you said, it's like it just goes on and on, like you're traveling through your mind.
Right, yeah.
私にとってよくあるんですね。みんなの曲は自分の子供みたい。みんなのアーティストはそう言ってます。
So for me personally, there's a saying that every song is sort of like our own child.Lots of artists feel that way.
だけど特別にもちろん私の一番最近に売れたって言えば曲はポルシカポレ。ポルシカポレという歌ですね。すごく、なんていうんですか、思いとか私の本当のプロフェッショナル的なアーティストのスタートでした。
But lately, they're one of the songs that she's released recently. It's called Polushka.
Polushka Pole.
It really captures a lot of her true feelings, and she considers it as the beginning of her as a true professional artist.
And 仕事あの こういうガス・ン・ザ・シェルの仕事の曲はすごくクルミネーションみたいな、もちろんすごく大事にしてます。
And of course the song from Ghost in the Shell、she treasures it very deeply because she considers it as like the culmination of everything that she's done、
yeah.
Now、this question specifically for Arga, because I know recently you got to、contribute tracks to the video game Final Fantasy XIII too、mm. and I'm just curious、how did you feel about the tracks when you saw them presented the way they were in the video game, like how did you feel about how they presented them?
ちょっと あまり答えられないですね、こういう質問ですね。私にとって関係ないビデオゲームかアニメかどんな仕事でもすごく大事にしてますから、特別いいなとか思わなかったですね。
It's very difficult to answer this kind of question. Personally, it doesn't really matter whether or not it's related to a video game or related to an anime, because it's her own work. Every job that she's given is definitely treasured. There's no particular thing that she, when she sees it or in such context, that she realizes, oh my gosh, that's amazing.
Just try to show myself.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's our, I mean, our songs are our babies. I'm a songwriter as well. I say my songs are my babies. It kind of piggybacks on that question and on the idea of songwriting and working on, and specifically for you, Raj, mm-hmm. I know you work on a lot of, or both of you, but you work on a lot of different kinds of songs, whether it's original music, soundtrack stuff, yeah. or working even in like commercials and things like that. Mm-hmm. As a songwriter, in the process of songwriting, mm-hmm. how is your process different going in writing songs for different mediums?
For different media?
Yeah, for different media. Whether it be original music or just music that kind of, you know, just comes out.
Actually the same question came up in the songwriting workshop earlier. And, for different media, I just finished some BMW commercial for Japan, and I'm working on some other TV commercials for Japan. And that process is more constrictive because they have fixed ideas of what they want me to sound like. They'll give me a reference song and want you to sound like something you did 6 years ago, or they want you to sound like this. So that's restrictive in different ways. But it's fun. It's a lot of fun, and I'm doing an Indian fusion soundtrack, which is a lot of fun too. But those kinds of things are very there's guidelines. Like even with working with somebody like Yoko, there's guidelines, there's rules. When I do my own music, there's no rules.
It's just whatever comes naturally out.
Whatever naturally comes out of me, and whether it sells or not doesn't really matter a whole lot to me, as long as I go ahead and make it, and I love the process. So.
I know you love and are proud of everything, but would you say that's the closest to, I know it's a hard type of question, closest to what's inside you as an artist, is when you're making your original music?
I think so. I think it's more personal. I'm gonna play some of those songs tonight. Yeah, and I'm gonna play a song that no one's ever heard before tonight. I'm gonna play it tonight and use a new track. And I think it is. It's lyrics and melodies are very personal experiences. So yeah.
And this is sort of a personal but silly question. Did you drop out of medical school to pursue a career in music?
Basically, yeah.
That's
awesome. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
But it was, you needed to follow your dream. You needed to follow what you felt in your heart rather
yeah.
than.
I never regretted it. I mean, for a year or two, I regretted it. Scared. $50 in that, then you start to worry about
it.
Yeah. But now it's all worked out. You know, it's all worked out very well for me. I'm still going strong. You know, and it's been great. I mean, I'm very happy. You know, so it's been.
And this is for both of you. It's just a generalized question. What are your earliest musical influences, like when you were children, and I sort of asked similar, but like were the sounds or the things that you remember, you know, you fondly remember, you know, remember Frank Sinatra and Kenny Rogers for some weird odd reason, but you know.
I grew up in a weird situation because I'd hear Glenn Campbell and Ravi Shankar in the mornings, you know. Because I grew up in Canada, my dad had Glenn Campbell and Anne Murray and Neil Young. Crosby, Stills, and Nash, but then we'd be listening to classical Indian music at the same time. And then I got into metal. Listen to AC/DC, and Zeppelin was AC/DC was my big thing. So it's like I grew up with a big mishmash of different, but all classic stuff, classic folk and country and.
But you have a place in your heart for rock and roll music.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Loud.
Let's go do some Zeppelin tonight. That'd be good. Think, yeah. I think that would
go
for. Yeah.
あ、私にとってあ私はずっと音楽を聴いたんですね。いろんな音楽で、私はクラシックエデュケーション、クラシックミュージックエデュケーションされてましたけど、だけど一番こういう感動しましたと覚えてる16とか17歳ぐらいの時、ジェネシスのママという曲を聴いたんです。ジェネシス、フルコレンス。I remember I cried. Maybe it was my our most. Yeah.
Exactly. It's good. Everybody feels the same thing.
Yeah. Because I didn't understand lyrics. Nothing. But I understood.
Sometimes that, the yes, and that's what true lyrics, the emotion comes yeah through, and just the sound yeah of the attack. And
so, yeah.
Thank you.
Raj, I've noticed online that there's going to be some new shows for the Beautiful Losers.
Yeah.
Is this like preparation for like a brand new album that you guys are working on, or is it like just to get the ears and?
Yeah, we're still playing semi-regularly. I'm doing a lot more playing at cons. I'm playing, you know, more cons. It keeps growing, so it's a good situation. I'm actually gonna put out a solo Roger Meyer album. The first time I put out a solo Roger Meyer album. So I'm just talking. I'm looking at some distribution companies and some labels that might be interested in talking to people, and getting prepared for that. Figuring out how I'm gonna put it out. And it's I got actually some tracks from that on here. I'm gonna give to you guys.
Oh, thank you.
It's
very
a mixed CD of different tracks.
Nice.
Fantastic.
And then there'll be two tracks off of the new Roger Meyer album that's coming out.
Excellent.
And a Kentucky Fried Chicken commercial. Finger licking good.
So can't see.
Yeah.
Is it so good? Is it? It's
so
good.
So, like outside of Yoko Kano and other past collaborations, are there any other musicians that you both would love to work with in the near future?
Future. Wow.
Bill Collins.
Can I? Koi yutte ii kana? I want to work with Trevor Horn. Yes, but it's just a dream.
You guys are the producer, Trevor Horn?
Trevor Horn?
Yeah.
You might know more than me. I've heard the name.
Yeah.
There's some great stuff.
But I think it's impossible.
Nothing's impossible.
That's true.
Maybe. If you write about that somewhere, and accidentally.
Unsolicited demo.
Who is this? Maybe.
And I know, Roger, you've collaborated with a lot of great people in the past. Is there someone out there yourself that you would love to just like be in the same room with and work on a song with?
Wow, that's a great question. I don't. That's. What's that? Jeff Beck?
Jeff Beck. Oh, that'd be nice.
Ooh. Jeff Beck would be cool. Yeah.
You'd be pushy. You know, Jeff Beck. He argues with Jimmy Page. You know?
Yeah, yeah. You know, he argues with Jimmy Page. Enough. Okay, I'll Jeff Beck.
Jeff Beck.
Guitar shop.
Yeah.
So, my second to last question is like, besides, you know, you're working on the solo album, or I know you're working on some tracks, like, what can we expect from the both of you in the near future? You know, besides any of this work, like, what else are you guys working on right now?
Club sounds, right?
I don't know. 私はいろんなものをやってみようとしてます。今。
I'd like to try doing a lot of different kinds of things from now on.
And, ちょっとやっぱりダンス系に行けそう。
And definitely like dance type of music clubs.
Yeah.
gosh, how about for yourself, besides the solo album, like, what would you like, what are you going to be working on next?
Well, the solo album for sure is a big thing for me, so once I get that ready, and then hopefully I'm going to be hitting the world music festivals as well and playing at those, because it's kind of electronic Indian acoustic fusion. It's like Neil Young meets Ravi Shankar.
I like that.
Yeah. Neil Young meets Ravi Shankar with club beats, basically.
Oh.
Yeah. 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 I kind of like that. So that's a big thing for me. So I'll be doing cons and world music festivals. And then I hope to do collaborations with different artists as well. I'm talking to a few different people and to put out some other people's, produce some other people's albums and put those out for my studio. And develop my little production company, Strawberry Hill Music. And we'll be working on all sorts of different projects and hopefully get involved with more young artists working with producing them.
That sounds very, very promising.
Yep. Great.
So the final question is something that I always ask all my musician guests that I've always interviewed. It's kind of silly, but I find it to be like the most difficult question that for them to answer.
Right.
And so it's sort of the game of a three album island. It's where the question is, if you were stuck on a deserted island and you managed to like Gilligan's Island,
an iPod,
a record player.
What?
Which
Matt Lockett together, or
not Matt Lockett,
MacGyver. Which three albums would you like to have on you to keep yourself sane until your imminent rescue, and why?
I know what those are. I know what those are. It's U2, Joshua Tree, Jeff Buckley, Grace, and Rush, Moving Pictures.
Ooh. So what about these three albums? Why would you think that these would keep you sane?
I never get tired of them. I never get tired of them. I can just keep listening to them forever and ever. And you're making me think about playing those songs tonight. I never get tired of those albums. I could just listen to them. I listened to them 20 years ago and they still sound... I mean, I put Rush in my car the other day and I was like, why haven't I listened to this in the past 5 years? I just put it in Rush, Moving Pictures is amazing. Red Barchetta. I just went nuts. I was like, this is incredible music. So, yeah.
That's kind of how it was the other day when listening to the White Stripes album Elephant, which I hadn't listened to for years. And I was reading an article about how it was the 10th year anniversary.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is still amazing from today's standards.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, there's, yeah. Great music's great music. It's so inspirational. It's unbelievable.
It's timeless.
Yeah, timeless, yeah.
For me, I don't know. It's too difficult. Yeah, I just say I like Seal.
It's always cool.
And Angun. Do you know?
Which one?
Angun. It's a French singer. From French. And I like Andrew Donald. I don't know why. But it's catchy.
Maybe that's the most important thing. If it's catchy, it keeps your mind off the things that are bad, like
stuff
in the
mountains.
Just
to you. You hear it.
Yeah.
You
But I of course, this guy working for Enigma, but I don't like Enigma so much. I like his voice. Yeah.
No, I just wanted to agree with you how you can enjoy Phil Collins when you were younger, but you couldn't understand what he's saying. We feel the same way about other music, whether it be Swedish or Japanese or Indian, because in your brain, it sounds good. It sounds like heaven. It sounds so good right here that you don't have to understand it to enjoy it and stuff right here. And then they become, once you find out what it sounds like or what they talk about, you feel your idea doesn't change. It almost, you enjoy it more. So right here, it always has a special place in your heart. So.
Nice.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And it reminds me of a quote that Sawayama Naka of the David Pillows once said. Mm-hmm. A concert I saw him years ago. He says, "I believe good music has no borders, no race, and is timeless."
Yes.
And I feel like the both of you, what you've done with in the anime industry and outside the anime industry, you've shown how true a statement that really is.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.